Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Today we are in our series, Hey God, looking at a biblical perspective on answers to some of the big questions of faith. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
Today's reading from the Bible comes from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Rod Dyson's my name, and I'm glad to see you again, and it's good to spend some time together focusing on the scriptures. Today we conclude the Hey God series, which Jonathan's been speaking into for the last 3 weeks. And the topics have come from your questions. So you've sent them in by phone or in another way. And the same is so for what I'm doing today. In fact, the topic I'm looking at today has come up several times in the messages that you've sent through when Jonathan's been speaking. Firstly, let me make another point, though. These accretions on our top lips that some of the staff have, it is for a purpose. It is because we want this month, we want men in particular to think about their health. Men often don't speak about this. They often put off going to the doctor. We want to encourage you to have conversations about your health, to be honest, to go and get your checkups, to trust the medical profession. It's not tough to not go. So go. And mine will be coming off in a week, I tell you. So anyway, today's topic is forgiveness. And it is a huge topic. So what I have to do is narrow it down to one particular area. Basically, I'm going to focus on us forgiving each other. Now, I do have to bring into that a bit about God forgiving us, because they're linked. I'm not also talking about us forgiving ourselves, which I think is another topic entirely. So it's about us forgiving each other. Let me start by saying that forgiveness in Australia is not just a Christian value. I mean, you may know many non-Christian people, and they will talk about forgiveness a lot. But certainly in some ancient cultures, forgiveness was not part of the culture. Indeed, it was regarded as weakness. And it was believed that vengeance and retaliation was actually the right and the strong thing to do. And certainly in Greek and Roman cultures, it was often thought to be weak. In Hebrew culture, You will know if you've read your Old Testament that there's lots of references to sacrifices and to dealing with sin and asking God's forgiveness by bringing an offering. In the Old Testament, though, forgiveness was usually about things that you did by accident rather than those you did intentionally. And forgiveness was often conditional, it was demanding, and yet there had to be some sense where you had paid enough or suffered enough. So that's a bit of the background. With Christianity, that's changed. And it's changed in Australia, and I think a lot of the forgiveness we really value now has come through Christianity, even though that wouldn't be recognised by most people. But that's the source of it. When Andrew Chan and Mayuran Sukumaran were convicted of drug trafficking in Indonesia, I know there was probably a general sense, well, these guys have done something really bad. They need to be imprisoned. They need to be punished for what they've done. Probably not too many were thinking they need to be executed. But both men changed. One became a pastor and really helped other prisoners. One became a painter and began to teach others how to paint. And they had an extraordinarily positive impact on the prison. So much so that the prison governor asked that they not be executed because of the effect they were having. When the death sentences were confirmed, there was a campaign in social media called We Stand for Mercy. And over 250,000 people signed that. So there really was a sense in Australia that though it was a terrible crime, because at least because there'd been change, there should now be forgiveness and mercy. So that's in our society. Let's look at forgiveness in more detail, and I want to look at some verses from the New Testament. What does that say about forgiveness? And I want to just give you a few verses. There's a lot of verses that talk about forgiveness. So firstly, one we heard before. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And some translations, and you may find in your Bibles, there's a little footnote that says, some translations say 70 times seven. Now, whichever one was the original version, I think we can say it's a lot of forgiveness. Maybe it's even saying there's not a limit. Second one, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And I know some of you say that perhaps even every day or frequently. Forgiveness is the norm and it's linked to God forgiving us. And I would say one other thing, that I think unforgiveness damages our relationship with God. Now, in the reading we just heard from Matthew 18 is a really strong story. The first servant owes a debt that is so enormous he could never pay it off. 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold, I think our translation was. A talent is 15 years' wages for a labourer. So if you multiply that by 10,000, you can see it's just not possible. It's a massive debt. Servant begs for mercy. King takes pity on him and cancels the whole debt. It's extraordinary. Servant must have felt wonderful. Imagine having all that debt hanging over you and leaving knowing that it had all gone. He then counts another servant who owes him a much, much smaller amount. Second servant pleads for mercy in the same way. The first servant refuses to forgive him and locks him up. The other servants heard about this and they knew it was wrong. So they spoke to the king. The king is furious. His expectation is that the mercy that he has shown will overflow from the lives of those who have received mercy. The king expects they will show mercy too. So the parable says, the king hands the first servant over to be tortured until he paid off the full debt. And the summary verse is, This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, it's a pretty harsh parable. And in fact, there's a number of things in there, a number of values and actions that we would never attribute to God. And it's always dangerous in a parable to go too much into the detail. What we're asked to do is to find what's the main point. That's what parables teach. This is what I think the main point is. Each one of us has had a debt paid by Jesus that is so big that we could never, ever pay it off. In Jesus we receive mercy and our debt is paid in full. God's expectation, though, is that we would show mercy to those who are indebted to us. And that includes those who have hurt us, that are in need of our forgiveness. One final verse. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God gave you. And again, we see that linkage between our forgiveness from God and forgiveness of others. Recently, I was reviewing a Bible study. It's a DVD series called Jesus, the Game Changer. Conveniently, one of the studies was about forgiveness. And they noted in there, and you'll find this in the New Testament if you read that, that the Jewish leaders were furious every time Jesus forgave sins. And the reason is because he changed the understanding of forgiveness. And Game Changer talks about four things, four changes. Firstly, forgiveness no longer has to happen just in the temple. Now that was assumed that's where it had to happen because that's where God was. And obviously anyone associated with the temple wanted it to keep going there because that was about their work and their significance. Secondly, forgiveness was no longer just something that God could do. It was something others could do as well. Massive change. Thirdly, any sin could be forgiven. And you'll find that in the scriptures, except for one exception, grieving of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, Jesus said to people, go and forgive. So four massive changes that came to us through Jesus. So my first major point would be Christians are expected to forgive because they have been forgiven. That linkage is there, we can't break it. As C.S. Lewis wrote, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. So that's the easy part. That's all easy, isn't it, all those scriptures? Let's go on and make it a bit harder. Some of you asked in your messages to Jonathan, what about ongoing hurt? Where the person's behaviour doesn't change. They just keep on hurting you. What if there's no repentance? And obviously it's so much easier when someone comes to us, they recognise what they've done, they come to us and they say, look, I really regret what I did to you the other day. I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. And they change their behaviour and don't do that again. That's so much simpler. But it's not always the case, is it? It's not always the case. It's important for me to say that in the case of emotional or physical abuse or danger of any kind, safety is paramount. The call to forgiveness is not a call to put up with abuse. Never was and never will be. In the case of really, you know, toxic, damaging relationships and that ongoing nastiness, we know that there are very clear processes in the workplace and in schools to stop that. And we should make use of those. The greater challenge is in our families, where sometimes for a period of time, relationships can be toxic. And navigating the line between loving our family and challenging destructive behaviour, it's a really challenging one. We're called to love our children and to forgive them And in extreme cases, it may actually mean that we limit the time we spend with them and pray and pray and pray for them. Second point, major point, there would be our call to forgiveness does not mean that we have to submit to abusive behaviours. Right, why forgive? A number of people have said to me over the years that I've been a minister that forgiveness feels like weakness. That forgiveness feels like condoning the bad behaviour. They have said to me that withholding forgiveness feels like the greatest power and sometimes the only power they have in the situation. Now, I do want to challenge that today. First, some other things. Forgiveness is not a magnanimous act on our behalf toward the victim. Forgiveness is not us being kind to those who have hurt us, nor is it saying to others that what you did is okay. It's none of those things. The very need for forgiveness points out that a wrong has been done, and it points out who did it. Who needs to ask for forgiveness? In choosing to forgive, we are naming that. Nor is forgiveness about forgetting. And those of you who have worked through situations to a point of forgiveness will know you can still remember, but maybe it doesn't have the pain attached to it. Something like that. Forgiveness is not about forgetting what has happened to you. So to talk about us for a minute, I mean, healthy communities do not pretend that there aren't hurts. They don't pretend there aren't divisions. Healthy communities are not made up of people who are trying to avoid each other all the time. Forgiveness does not mean pretending that everything is all right and that the other person has not really done anything that was hurtful. Forgiveness does not mean saying it didn't really happen or it doesn't really matter. Forgiveness says that something did happen and it's significant and it needs to be dealt with. Why forgive? Withholding forgiveness may feel like the only power that you have in a really hurtful situation. What I want to say to you today is that withholding forgiveness is the greatest power that you have to bind up your own life and to limit your ability to move forward with freedom. Forgiveness is refusing to be tied in knots and be controlled by the past. The choice is often between getting better or getting bitter. And I've time and time again, I've seen people who have struggled to forgive and you can actually see them getting ill. It's just controlling who they are. A theologian named Carolyn Lewis wrote, A few years ago at the end of my yoga class, so whatever classes you go to, you can be looking for wisdom. A few years ago at the end of my yoga class, the instructor shared a definition of forgiveness that made me think. And the instructor said, forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past can be changed. Letting go of that. Which means you no longer have to stay in the past, but you can begin to say, what about the future? And I think forgiveness shifts the focus from what has happened to what could happen. Many of you will have heard about Barnaby Joyce, Deputy Prime Minister, and someone having an affair with his media advisor, Vicky Campion. And you probably heard it on the radio, you heard it in the papers, you heard it in the TV. It was just everywhere. The story occupied so much time. It was obviously deeply hurtful for his wife and his daughters. And worse, because it was done in the public space. And Natalie Joyce felt abandoned and, of course, totally embarrassed by the fact that everybody knew. She went into a very dark time. And then one day she got out of bed. And I need to say straight away, there was actually only one day in all this time when she didn't get out of bed. But she spent a lot more time in bed than she usually does. One day she got out of bed, she stopped watching Netflix and she went to the gym. Believe it or not, she had a lifelong dream of entering a bodybuilding competition. Any of you? It's not too late. I mean, she is well and truly middle-aged. Come on, no one? She trained and she trained, and then she entered a competition and she picked up 2 fourth places. One in the first timers category, fair enough, and the other one, which I think is lovely, the Miss Fitness Model Mama category. Miss Fitness Model Mama. Social media immediately went to town on that. And it said, what Natalie's trying to do is to say stuff to you, Barnaby. They saw it and read it as an act of revenge. Now, when you think about that, who is still the focus if it's an act of revenge? It's Barnaby, isn't it? It's still going backwards. It's still all about him. But she said this was never the case. She said, it was all about me feeling free and moving on. She said it was about me taking control of my life, achieving a lifelong dream, finding freedom and new beginnings. Now she feels much less defined by what happened to her. The focus was moved. Last point, what is forgiveness like? Well, the first thing obviously is to repeat that it's hard. But it's a hard choice we need to make. It's not an emotional state. Forgiveness is not something we do when we feel like it. And you will not find support for that in the scriptures. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. You could even say it's an action. Indeed, further than that, forgiveness is a lifestyle. And Martin Luther King Jr., who had plenty of reason to talk about this, said, forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a constant attitude. A constant attitude. That's where we're aiming, that it becomes a constant attitude. Now, my experience is that when you're really hurt, you can reach the point, and I think Natalie Joyce has reached this point too, where you can make an initial decision to forgive the person who's hurt you. But sooner or later, something will trigger your pain again, and it could be a word, an event, or a song, even a smell. And at that point, there's a choice that presents itself to you. And the only one that will bring you life is to choose to forgive again. And that may happen for years, but it is the way to freedom. When Andrew Chan was told that he would be executed in Indonesia for drug trafficking, he wrote this. He went back to his cell. He said, God, I asked you to set me free, not kill me. And God spoke to him and he said, Andrew, I have set you free from the inside out. I have given you life. And Andrew said, from that moment, I have not stopped worshipping him. I had never sung before. I'd never led worship before until Jesus set me free. So the work was done internally and it changed who he was. There's a small prophetic book in the Old Testament called Habakkuk. And it really talks about this issue of what's going on when a just God, a loving God, doesn't stop, and that uses the phrase wicked people, doesn't stop wicked people from doing things to righteous people. And it says the righteous must live by faith. And at the proper time, God will sort things out. And there's this extraordinary verse, as though the fig tree does not bud and there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields don't produce any food, though there's no sheep in the pen nor cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to tread on the heights. And you may have seen one of those Attenborough things where deer leap across almost vertical cliffs, finding tiny little footholds quite safely. It's saying to us, in the most difficult of life's terrain, the sovereign Lord will stand with us and allow us to move into the future. Faith is believing that God, all God has said, in spite of the most difficult circumstances. And that applies in the areas of pain. And when someone's really hurt us, the sovereign Lord will get us through that when we make the decision to forgive. So you can see the number up there on the screen, and you can send in questions at the end of the service, and Jonathan will answer them. One of us will anyway. at least we'll try to. We don't presume to know all the answers by any means, but at least we'll have a go. And so at the end of the service, for those of you that really need to go, can go straight away. If you want to stay and either send in a message or call one out, then we'll do our best to answer it. So let me lead you in prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful for your love for us, both in forgiving us, but also standing with us in life's most difficult places. And we just bring before you now those areas of hurt and pain, and we invite you immediately, Holy Spirit, come in and begin your healing work in us. Come, Lord Jesus, and lead us into the future, we pray in Jesus' name.